Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
One of those at table with Jesus said to him, "Blessed is the one who will dine in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied to him, "A man gave a great dinner to which he invited many. When the time for the dinner came, he dispatched his servant to say to those invited, 'Come, everything is now ready.' But one by one they all began to excuse themselves. The first said to him, 'I purchased a field and I must go to examine it. I ask you, consider me excused.' Another said, 'I have purchased 5 yoke of oxen and am on my way to evaluate them. I beg you, consider me excused.' Third said, 'I've just married a woman, and therefore I can't come.' The servant went and reported this to his master. Then the master of the house, in a rage, commanded his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in here the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame.' The servant reported, 'Sir, your orders have been carried out. Still there's room.' The master then ordered the servant, 'Go out to the highways and the hedgerows and make people come in, that my home may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited taste my dinner.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We're now in the last of the weeks of this biennial 4-week prayer with the letter to the Romans, St. Paul's most well thought out of his epistles, in which he wasn't responding to specific questions of a community, but was laying out the faith for a community he hoped to visit. Today we begin the third part of the letter. We had almost 3 weeks focused on how we get right with God. Then we had 3 days on this relationship between God and the Jews and how the Jews would be saved. And in this home stretch, we get St. Paul's classic moral theology discourse, which he describes how we, as Christians, are supposed to live. I think everything that we hear today and that we'll be hearing through Saturday can be summarized by these words: let love be sincere. Don't fake it. Let it be true. Sinceros et sanctus come from the same roots in Latin. It means to cut off falsity. It means to cut off whatever's not worthy of God. St. Paul is urging that our love be sincere. Remember, 2 years ago, I had the greatest shock in my liturgical life here at daily Mass. It was kind of like this morning. I was up at 3:45 this morning, gave a couple spiritual direction appointments to Ireland, and then booked it up here. And then I get here and Sister Pia Jude says, a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. I had known from my preparation that we were getting into Romans 12. And then all of a sudden she starts with, "We though many are one body in Christ." And I'm saying, no, that can't be the reading, because this is Romans 12. And Romans 12 starts off with what Pope Benedict said is the most important passage in the New Testament. For some strange reason, Archbishop Bonini didn't find room for it in the 2-year liturgical cycle. How does Romans 12 start? You remember?
Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice.
Holy and acceptable to the Lord, your logike latreia, the only worship that makes sense. It starts off with how we're supposed to respond to all God has given. That's sincere love, that if we recognize how much we've been loved by the Lord, we want to love back with all that we have. Holy and acceptable. Fitting. that we offer our bodies, which are the sacraments of who we are, body and soul, back to the Lord who said, this is my body given for you, this is my whole life given for you, this is the flesh I've assumed in becoming man given for you. That it starts there. That's the essence of the Christian life. That's St. Paul's moral theology. Then it goes on in this second passage which we have. Look at the gifts God has given you and use whatever gifts God has given you for his purpose. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, but let us exercise them. Let us develop those muscles. Let us invest those gifts. Let us not bury these talents, but put them for the kingdom. Prophecy, give it in proportion to the faith that you've received. And ministry and ministering, teacher, teaching, exhortation, exhorting, generosity, contributing, diligence, if you have custody over others. And if you're doing almsgiving, do it with cheerfulness. Whatever gifts God has given, use them. That's sincere love. And then he goes on with a whole description of sincere love. If our love is sincere, then we will genuinely hate what is evil. Because we love God and we love others. And sin, whatever is evil, separates from God and divides us from others. Hold on to what is good, for love is sincere. We're going to be grateful for the gift of goodness wherever we find it and hold on to it. Love one another with mutual affection. Do we love others with affection? Do we put our hearts into it? Would people know? Does everybody in this house know that you love them with affection? How does that affection come across? Sometimes we can think nobody loves us because nobody really treats us with affection. Or on the flip side, we can think that we're loving by the very fact that we don't hate somebody, or that we have good feelings, but we don't put our emotions into it. We don't really show it. If our love is sincere, it will show in affection, even when we have to discipline, even when we have to give a fraternal correction, even when we have to do something hard. Anticipate one another in showing honor. That if our love's sincere, we're going to hustle to show honor to the other person as the other person's hustling to show honor to us. I was talking this morning about the second of the three statements of intention that happen in marriage. For the rest of your life, will you love and honor each other? Love means sacrificing yourself for each other. Every day for the rest of your life, will you sacrifice for each other? But then when I ask young couples, what does honor mean as a verb? They'll often say, well, it kind of means respect. I say it goes way beyond respect. It means really reverencing someone else. When a fireman's honored, when a cop's honored, when a soldier's honored, when a teacher of the month is honored, whatever. It's, you did this, you didn't have to. You've gone way beyond the call of duty, and we want to thank you. We want to praise you. Do we anticipate each other in praising the other? Do we thank for whoever cooks? The amount of effort that comes? Do we thank for the cleaning? Do we thank for all these little things that take place? Would the other consider us a leading contender for being that person's president of the fan club? They should have a chance to be able to do that if our love is sincere. If our love for God is sincere, we won't grow slack in zeal. But we'll constantly keep trying to fan the flames of that fire. We'll be fervent in spirit and we will serve the Lord. We'll ask how he wishes to be served and we will seek to do it. We'll rejoice in the hope that he gives us, endure our afflictions, and persevere in our prayer. This is all part of sincere love for God. And then there's his expression of sincere love for neighbor. If we truly love them, we'll contribute to their needs. We can't ignore them. We'll exercise hospitality if we love them, even if they come at an inopportune time. If we love our neighbors, we'll bless those even who persecute us. We'll rejoice when they're happy because we share their joy. We'll weep when they weep because we share their sorrow. We love them so much that to see them in pain puts us in pain. We won't be haughty, but we'll associate with the lowly because we love them and we'll consider it a great honor to associate with them. Throughout these chapters, we'll be getting throughout the rest of the week, with the exception of the Feast of St. John Lateran, which will have proper readings. It's all a commentary on those words, let love be sincere. And that's a great way for us constantly to go about life, asking not whether we love, but how sincere our love is, so that it's translating into what we're thinking, what we're saying, what we're doing. Today's gospel, Jesus is talking about sincerity in responding to his invitation, responding to his call, responding to his summons. People wanted to pretend in the parable that they appreciated the invitation, but they didn't really appreciate it. They were feigning it. He's inviting them to the banquet of the kingdom, and they were all making excuses. Purchase a field. I have 5 new yoke of oxen. I have a new bride. I can't come. As human beings, we're good in making excuses to try to wiggle our way out of things. When our love is sincere, sometimes we can't do what we're asked to do, but we state it. We don't dissimulate. It's the same thing with the Lord. He wants us to pray very sincerely. Lord, I find this, what you're asking me to do, excruciating. So I really need your help because I don't want to do it. But give me the desire to want what you want. To pray like a Jew, some of the times with a hand or fist raised, saying, Lord, I can't believe you permitted this to happen. What were you thinking? But then we seek to adjust our way of looking at things at the way he looks at things. That's the essence of the Christian life. Blessed is the one who will dine in the kingdom of God. That's precisely what we do here each day at Mass. He's given us this invitation. He's dragged us, as we were talking about yesterday, in our poverty, because we have nothing without him. In our handicaps, because a lot of the times we stumble as we seek to follow him. In our blind spots, where sometimes we don't even see him as the Lamb of God, even though we say the words, we don't see him in the distressing disguise of others on their worst days. With all of those difficulties, he still summons us here. And thanks be to God, we have shown up early in the morning. He has compelled us to come in a sense, saying, do this in memory of me. How blessed indeed we are. Let us ask him who has given us this great gift to help us to use this gift by first sincerely offering ourselves as the only worthy response to him who has given himself totally to us, and then to use those other charisms, whether it be prophecy or teaching or charity or generosity or the charism of life, to go forth and spend it, so that others may learn from us the way of sincere love that leads to him who is sincere love, who gives himself to us sincerely today. Blessed is the one who will dine here.